Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We are so blessed every time you join us. Now, today we have a good friend back on the program again. Every time he comes on, you never know where our conversations will go. Tom Donnan. Let me tell you a little bit about Tom Donnan. Tom had an encounter with God when he died in an ambulance after a widowmaker heart attack. He had an encounter with God, and then suddenly he was back. But he had an experience that I'm sure he'll share with us here in a minute. He's been fulfilling the calling he was given ever since. And in the series of interviews that we have been having, we discuss many current events happening right now that you see every night on the news, and some that you don't see on the news. And they're all possible indications that we are living in the end times. Today we're going to talk about some of the weather-related phenomena that has been happening this spring in 2019, and we have had some weird weather going on. Now, tornadoes are nothing new to the central United States, and it goes without saying in the springtime there's going to be large storms as the warm air from the Gulf of Mexico collides with the cold front still dipping south from Canada. But before we get into all that, because that's how we're going to lead off, I want to help me welcome to the program my good friend, Tom Donnan. Tom, welcome back, buddy.
Well, Pastor Bob, thanks for having me. And I'll tell you what, we always have a good time when we're having conversation. You know, the thing is that when you're lifting up the Lord, you know, he says, you lift me up and above the, you lift me, what is that? John 12:32. He says, if I be lifted up above the earth, I would draw all men unto me. Okay. And, you know, and that's the purpose. That's why we like to get together, because we like to do that. We like to draw people to the Lord. You know, and we have a lot of fun with the conversation, and so I'm glad to be back. Thank you very much.
Amen. And I keep thinking about the scripture, because every time we get together, like I said, we never know where we'll end up going. We have an outline, but we never know where we're going to go. And it's like, I will give you the words in that hour that you will say. Amen. But first, for those who may not have heard our interviews before, which, you know, all I can say is shame, shame, shame. But if they haven't, in your own words, go ahead, other than that short bio I just read, tell everyone, who is Tom Donnan?
Oh, well, of course, I am a father, a grandfather, an author, a retired elevator mechanic, which I do like my days, you know, where I don't have to necessarily get up, and the lack of pressure and the lack of responsibility, which is awesome. Amen. You know, it gives me time to be able to spend more time with the Lord. And of course, the thing is that I have been given a second chance in life, which is an important thing, because at the age of 54, I had my second heart attack, which was the widowmaker, and it happened very quickly. And I always ask the Lord, why did I live in that house at the time? Well, it's 3 minutes from the fire station. I'm telling you, they were right there. And it was February 6th of 2006. You know, it was snowing. It was about 6 degrees. And they had come into, you know how they are. You know, they're in a hurry. You know, get out of the way. You know, it's a good thing, because I had collapsed in the hallway. And they're trying to get IVs into me. And they're trying to get my shirt off. And I said, just cut it off. The scissors come flying out, you know. And they cut that off. They put the IVs in. They get me on the gurney. They're bringing me out, and the snow is falling on my chest, you know, and it was cold. But the heart pain, oh, it was terrible. They gave me two shots of morphine, and it didn't even phase the pain.
Oh, man.
You know, it was absolutely amazing. So on the way to the hospital, I'm telling the guys, I says, hey, I have this fire rolling up my legs from my toes, up my legs, and they told me not to worry about it. Those were the last words I said and the last words I heard. Because when that heart stopped, man, I was out of the body in the spiritual realm. I was dead, you know. And I'm thinking, ooh, this is peaceful up here, because I was above the ambulance. They had stopped. Of course, when you got a code, they stop and they work on you. And that's when off to my right, I heard the voice of God, like a rolling, not a rolling thunder, but a rolling deep voice, masculine. He said one sentence, and this is a quote. It's only while you are on earth that you can work for Jesus. And so then he didn't, you know, then it stopped. And I can imagine that somewhere in the ambulance, somebody is yelling, clear, you know, poof. The next thing I know, I'm in there, back in the body, and the paramedic is telling me, he says, Tom, don't worry, all your stats look real good. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You know? And then it was the road to recovery. But I'll tell you what, after that, when you look into the face of your own mortality, it changes your life. And so I wanted to be used of God before. Well, I don't want to be waiting for God to use me anymore. I want to be used. And so I was crying out to him with desperation to be used. And then I had a time of recovery. And then doors started to open up for me. And Amen. That was how we met, because of that, continuing to seek him out and try to be used and, you know, reach people.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, outstanding. Well, not outstanding, but hard to have. Outstanding that God was able to communicate your mission for life, basically in one sentence. Serve the Lord while you're on the earth.
Yeah, you know? And I like doing the work. I know you like doing the work.
Amen. Amen. Well, our subject matter that we're going to start with is the weather phenomenon that's been going on all spring. We talked, you know, that there's tornadoes were going on. I mean, there have been so many tornadoes in the month of May. There were what, I think they said 12 straight days of multiple tornadoes in the Midwest. Some reports have more than 500 reports of tornadoes. 500! I mean, some of them may be in the same storms, but the point is, that's huge, you know? Now, several people died, hundreds got hurt, thousands lost homes and other things, and it's just not the tornadoes. I mean, there are huge hailstorms that accompany these storms. You know, for those that don't know, because of my pilot background, you know, we had to learn all about, you know, storms and weather and how to read the clouds and all that. But hail is generated by, it's just rain that's caught in updrafts that's taken way up into, you know, 30, 40,000 feet where, you know, it's super cold. And it freezes, and then it's too heavy, so it falls back. And as it goes falling through the rain that's headed back up, it gets, you know, the raindrops stick to it, and it gets bigger and bigger. And then, you know, it finally gets caught in an updraft and sent back up again. And it goes over and over until it's finally too heavy to be held up in the air anymore. And that's when it falls as rain, I mean, as hail. And in a tornado, you get that centrifugal force going because of the spinning air, and it just tosses it out the side instead of up in the air, so it comes out almost in whole ice cube type things, you know. And snowball, some of them are snowball, softball size hail. And but usually it'll melt as it falls back into the warmer air, and sometimes it melts completely and just get rain. Sometimes it's little tiny pea size hails, and sometimes little bigger ones. But hail will cause damage. And large enough hail can actually injure people, you know. But in tornadoes, you know, dealing with that centrifugal force, you know, you get this hail high up that gets slung out, and that's the hail that we've been seeing causing so many damage, so much damage and injuries. Now, Tom, my question for you is, do you see this as part of the quote-unquote global warming or quote-unquote global cooling, or is this just natural occurrences, or is it signs of increasing judgment like described in Matthew 24 and elsewhere?
Well, I always like to reflect off of Matthew 24, you know, and I like Matthew 25 as well, because it talks about moving into that direction. I'm not an advocate for global warming, because I don't believe that. I had just Amen. Listened to a professor that had a contrary view, and he goes, well, we've only had 0.9 of 1 degree in warming, right. You know, and that is not enough to raise a red flag like they are doing. But here there's no doubt that there is weather change that is happening, because we're seeing these unusual big outbreaks. Yeah. And isn't that what the Lord had said, you know, that to be prepared or to watch and be prepared?
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and so that's what we're trying to do, because I'm telling you, this is absolutely astounding. Now, what is one of the effects? This is the thing that I have been scratching my head over for years, and that is that how come people aren't seeing the signs of the times and being concerned or being affected or moving towards the Lord? And a big, huge thing is the comfort factor, no? And so when you have these type of storms, of course, it shakes people to their core. And I'm not saying that they're bad or anything like that. You know, because we have a God of compassion. His heart breaks when people are hurting, you know. And so in these storms, you have a lot of people that their lives are turned upside down, and it's going to take a very long time for their lives to be reconstructed, and it probably won't be in the same way, you know. And that's part of the human experience is change, and change is always tough, you know. And so, but it's during those times that people will cry out. If you remember, back in the 60s, they had that 9-point-something earthquake up in Alaska. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely phenomenal. And the thing was is that after that earthquake, those churches were filled for like the next 6 to 9 months, mm-hmm. you know, as people realized that we're just human beings, you know, and stuff happens way beyond us. And sometimes we think we're in way over our head, you know, and that's why we need a God, you know?
Amen.
And so in our society, sometimes in an intellectual thought pattern, we think, well, we don't need God. But when things like this happen, we realize, well, wait a minute, you know, nature can get so out of control. And that's what we're seeing here is that this 500, it's just absolutely astounded, you know, going across the heartland of the of our nation. Now, you were talking about the hail, right?
Mm-hmm,
okay, so here's a personal story. I had gone to Bethany, Oklahoma. I flew into Will Rogers International Airport there in Oklahoma. And when I got to my rental car, you know, they had a sign right there on the counter. And it strongly suggested that I purchase hail insurance, and I laughed. I laughed because I thought, this is just another way to get money out of me, you know? So I blew him off, and I said no. All right. Well, that night in the hotel room at the southwest corner of Oklahoma was a severe storm that was coming in, and it had 3-inch hail.
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, oh, now I am sick to my stomach, right, because it's only a couple hours away. But then by the time it got to Oklahoma, where I was at, Oklahoma City, it was nothing more than pea-sized hail, which didn't do any damage. You know, but then I realized this is a unique part of the country.
Yeah.
They have the right mixtures for these severe storms that happen over and over again. And here you have the entire month of May where it is happening over and over and over again. You know, and the sirens are going off and people are not, you know, blowing it off. They're seriously concerned. And so it is terrible how their lives are turned upside down.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be through the tornado or whether it be through the hail, and that is happening in, it happened a lot. That was one of the other YouTube links that I had. I was shocked when I looked at that map of how many hail storms and how many severe hail storms there were in this month of May.
Yeah, amen. And I'm putting links to the YouTube videos that we're talking about, folks, in the show notes, so you can click these links as well as we're going through this. You know, you're talking about severe weather. When I lived down in Fort Worth, I was going to Bible school down there in South Fort Worth in Texas. We had a tornado alert that came in, and, you know, the news is interrupting television and everything. And we lived in an upstairs apartment. And the news, you know, how they project where it's going to go. Well, you know, they've been narrowing this, you know, big funnel thing down, and it's pointing, like, right at our neighborhood, right? And, you know, our apartment didn't have any type of shelter or anything. So, and I'm at a faith Bible school, all right? So I walk out on the balcony, and you can see this big storm cloud coming, just like the news said. And picture this, for people listening and for you, Tom, picture the face of a clock. And at 6 o'clock, that's where our apartment is. Just put a dot right there, right where the 6 would be. And if you move up to about 7:30 and go in about halfway on the face of the clock, that's where the city of Fort Worth would be in relation to us, right? I'm out on the balcony and I'm rebuking this storm. And I commanded in the name of Jesus, you will turn away from me in Jesus' name. And that thing went around. It turned to its left, which would be my right as I'm facing it. And literally, to me, it looked like it just made a 90-degree turn, went right around, and continued on. Well, looking at that face of that clock in your mind, as it turned, where do you think it ended up hitting? downtown Fort Worth. Remember the tornado back in 99, 98, something like that, that hit downtown Fort Worth?
Okay.
Yeah, I directed it there.
Oh, no. Oh, here I thought we had a great faith message here.
It was a faith message. It moved. I said, no. You will turn away from this apartment. And it did. And it well, downtown Fort Worth.
Well, this is the thing about our faith, you know, is that it does say that we can move mountains. And so you're thinking about the essence of storms, you know, and how people's lives are affected by this. And so, but yes, there are times that God can use us to intercede, even mm-hmm. in different areas of, even with storms. Yeah, you know, amen. Jesus, look at, Jesus was on the, sure. in the boat on the water. And they woke him up and he spoke to the waves and it went calm. He has yeah. the authority over nature and in our earth.
That's right. And the part I love about that story, if you read it, a lot of people just skip over this part. It says, and his disciples were in the boat with him, right? But then it also says, and there were also other little boats with him. In other words, it just wasn't him and his 12 disciples that were in the middle of that storm. You know,
okay.
There were other boats with him out there. And oh. when he rebuked that storm and there was a great calm, he just didn't save his 12 disciples. He saved all those other boats that were with him and the people in those boats that were with him.
Wow.
So if you're with Jesus, he can calm the storm.
Well, one of the things I like about that story is that the disciples were shook. It shook them mm-hmm. when yeah. this man spoke. You know, Jesus, God, he spoke and it responded to his words yeah. with authority yeah. and it shook them. I love that expression because when the supernatural shows up like that, people often get shook and that yeah. gives them an experience to realize, well, you know, God has authority. You know, yeah. he's a big God and there's a certain amount of fear of the Lord, which we don't have a whole lot of these days.
That's right.
You know. But a little bit of the fear of the Lord is, I believe, is good. It's good in my life is because I give him more respect and he deserves respect and glory and honor.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, I also seen a video that was talking about, I believe it's in Glacier Park, where they removed, you know, we're talking about global warming. They removed the sign that was talking about how global warming is affecting Glacier National Park because there's no longer any evidence that global warming is affecting Glacier National Park.
Okay.
So they this video about how they removed the sign because, you know, it's so cold and the snowbank is so big that, you know, people are like, global warming, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now, let's continue our discussion of weather-related things, and let's talk about the massive flooding in the Midwest as well. I mean, these storms did not just generate tornadoes, but dump massive amounts of rain with the storms. And in the northern areas, because at the time when all this first started, the ground was still frozen or still had snow cover, so when all that rain fell in those areas, it couldn't be absorbed into the ground, so it just ran off, which caused massive local flooding. Then the runoff entered the streams, which flowed into the rivers and ultimately ended up in the tributaries that fed the mighty Mississippi. And it flooded all those areas downstream in the Mississippi River Valley as well. I mean, this has caused massive flooding with croplands and loss of livestock, all of that. And in some cases, there are reports that I've seen that suggest up to 58% of the crops not have been destroyed. They haven't even been planted yet. And this is bad news, not just for the farmers because of their economy, but for the rest of us who, you know, like to eat from time to time, you know? I mean, this is bad. It doesn't even, and that didn't even include the ranchers who need to feed their livestock, you know, in areas all around the country, and that's where they get their grain and stuff from. What do you think about that?
Wow, that has a cascading effect.
Yeah.
No, and it's just it's going to affect so many different areas of our lives. No, now when we talked, it was about Nebraska, about mm-hmm. how Nebraska yeah. was devastated by out of water. That was yep. the time previous. Well, now we got three more states that has been devastated. And I had heard something, and it wasn't in any of the links that we're discussing about, but it was about I didn't realize that farmers will take out insurance on their crops. And they can only get insurance up till June 1st. Well, look at how many farmers can't plant. Yeah. So what does that mean, you know, about this insurance thing? Are they going to plant or are they not because they can't get insurance, you know, which would protect them with some of their investments, mm-hmm. but it's affecting a lot of the crops. And, of course, then you have they like to get several fields in, you know, corn and wheat and soybean, you know. So this is going to change the weather or the production of food in a big way this year, in a really big way. It's going to affect ethanol because that's going to be going into gas. It's going to, you know, affect the grocery store because prices are going to be going up. And we're going to be starting to see in the fall the effects of these things happening with higher prices in a variety of different ways. And, of course, you got the farmers. Now, farmers have such a hard time that if they don't have a consistent blessings from God, you know, with good crops and stuff, you're usually struggling.
Yeah.
And so you have people that are talking about how this one poor guy, it was his first time planting a crop, and he had like that said knee-high corn, and it was gone. The water had taken it away. And, you know, he's devastated, of course, you know, but he's hoping that he can be able to replant. And it was $1 million crop is that he had lost. Mm-hmm. And so, oh, man, this is like absolutely amazing. This is going to touch us in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that, of course, it gets back to this, is that then people start crying out to God. Because you know what? What is it the last church in Revelations where he says, what I have against you is that, you know, you're lukewarm, you know? And so things like this either force you one way or the other, you know, and being lukewarm is not good, but being on fire is very good because you have the blessings of the Lord, and that's he will take care of those things. You know, I like, what is it, Matthew 6:33. Of course, Matthew 6 is the worry chapter, right? But in the middle, you know, there's going to be a lot of worried people out there. But in the middle or towards the end there in 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Mm-hmm.
Well, when your world is shaken, like we have so many millions of people, their worlds are being shaken, it's no better time than to seek God and have him breathe his breath of revitalization into their lives, their souls, their families, their communities, you know, their businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, the impact that natural disasters have. Katrina down in New Orleans, they still have not recovered from it, like 10 years later. And they're still suffering in some places down there where they haven't been able to rebuild. I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, people don't hear about it. You know, it's all in the news while it's happening. And then, you know, there'll be spotty news as, you know, relief is being sent in and all that. But then the next disaster happens somewhere else and all the news people pack up and leave. And these people basically are left on their own to fend for themselves. You know, oh, sure, you know, you got the government coming in and, you know, giving some aid and stuff like that. But the rebuilding part really is on them, you know, and that's why, you know, these farmers, the flood just didn't take out the corn and the wheat and all that. It takes away the topsoil, too, you know. So they've got to go through and try and, you know, replow and, you know, get some good ground in there because, you know, you take away the topsoil and all you're left with is, you know, compacted clay and stuff like that. What are you plowing up? Compacted clay, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's just not the crops they're losing. It's the ability to grow good crops. So, you know, they've got a lot of work ahead of them, you know, and unfortunately it's a terrible situation because it costs them money to plant the crops to begin with. Now they got to go through the expense of cleaning it up. Then they got to purchase more seed and get the ground ready for another attempt at planting. I mean, you're talking triple and quadruple expenses. So what's that going to do to the prices even if they have a crop? You know, and since there's a limited, you know, let's say instead of 100% of the crop, we end up with, you know, 60% of what we normally get. Well, their expenses went up. Who are they going to pass that cost along to? And since there's more of a demand for the resources that they're producing, what's that going to do with the prices? You know, supply and demand. I mean, And once they get used, you know, if they've been charging $2 a bushel for something, and now they're charging $5 a bushel, and people are buying it for $5 a bushel, what do you think is going to happen next year? Are they going to drop it back to two? Well, they'll probably cut it back a little bit, but, you know, it's not going back to two. It might go three or four, you know. So that's how inflation happens. You know, once people get used to paying that, it's like, you know, gasoline. You know, I don't think we'll ever see a dollar a gallon again.
Well,
because people are used to paying three and four, you know.
Yeah. But, no, when you pay three, you're happy for anywhere in the two range.
Exactly. Even if it's $2.99.
Yes.
Hey, Tom, exactly. I want to interrupt right here and give people an opportunity to get your contact information, just in case they can't stay for the end of the interview. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, I have a ministry page on Facebook. It's called Healing the Nation Ministries, and I have an open messenger link for there. They can reach me there or by email, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com, and they can get a hold of me that way. And so those are two ways that they can reach me.
Okay. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's interview session with Tom Donnan. I tell you what, every time Tom and I get together, you just never know where the conversation's going to go. I mean, he is a great friend of mine. He's become a great friend of our ministry, a great friend of the podcast, and I know that our podcast listening audience enjoys his conversations as well. He has great insight into what is taking place right now throughout the world. I mean, he does his research, and all of it relates to the soon return of Christ. I mean, that is the most important part. Both he and I agree that we need to be ready. Are you ready? If not, you need to get ready. Just ask the Lord to save you, come into your heart, take over your life, and then yield to him. Now, come back tomorrow, because Tom's coming back to conclude our interview. Till then, this is Pastor Bob. Be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.